Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny and owner of My Best Friend Dog Training.
Our weekly 30-minute talk radio show was created for anyone who lives with dogs, who loves dogs, or is even thinking about getting a dog. This is the place to get totally free information about dog behavior and training methods, about nutrition and canine health information, and a lot more. We often interview experts in this field who are the best of the best, like authors, traditional and homeopathic veterinarians, as well as veterinary behaviorists who specialize in working with problem dogs. You can rest assured that anyone we interview on this show is worthy of your taking their excellent advice and learning from them. Those of you who are tuning in for the first time today should also know that you can hear our previous shows by going to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com. All you have to do is click on the page marked Rini's Radio Show, or you can visit Karen's website at www.mybestfrienddogschool.com. You'll see a list of topics that we've discussed before, and you can click on any of the links you see there to hear the shows that might be of interest to you. We will be taking your calls throughout our program today. If you're experiencing a problem with your own dog and you want Karen and I to help you, give us a call. Our number is 856-227-1360. Again, that's 856-227-1360, and our lines will be open for the next half hour. You can also email us at our websites to ask questions, and we'll answer them on the air. Before Karen and I begin our discussion today, and we have a lot to talk about, please let me tell you what services I offer as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age, and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Hey guys, I want to let you all know that I have a 6-week puppy kindergarten class that is going to start on Sunday, September the 11th from 10 to 11:15 a.m. Classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street in Marlton, New Jersey. Puppy class is for puppies who are 8 weeks old to 18 weeks. If you have an interest in bringing your puppy to class, you can always call me to enroll at 609-280-9338, or you can email me through my website, jerseydogtrainer.com. Puppy kindergarten is great and important for socialization and basic manners training. Hey, Karen, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think about the game of tug of war? Do you like playing that with dogs?
I think it's one of the best games anyone could play with their dog, but it, like anything else, it does have its rules.
Okay.
There are well-defined rules, and if you'd like, I can share with you some of my own rules.
Share away, darling. Go ahead. Tell us.
Okay. Now, I want to kind of get rid of some of the myths that surround this game. I hear time and time again from clients when I break out the rope toy and ask them if they play rope with their dog, they say no because my vet said that it'll increase aggression or cause the dog to become violent and these kinds of things. And that's definitely not the case. In fact, Gene Donaldson, who's a noted behavior professional, had mentioned it, I think it was in her book, The Culture Clash.
Right.
That when dogs are playing, when they're out in the wild, say they were feral and they caught a rabbit, for instance,
mm-hmm.
one dog would grab the front end of it and another one would grab the end, and they would engage in this game where they shake their heads and they growl and everything like that, and eventually the prey rips in half and both of them are rewarded with a meal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a game of competition, but more of a game of cooperation.
Okay.
So when I take that knowledge and I apply it to the rope toy, and what I usually do when I first introduce this game is I buy a very, very large rope.
Mm-hmm. Long rope.
I
mm-hmm.
realize that the owners, since they haven't played rope toy, they're more likely inexperienced, and you're also dealing with an inexperienced dog with the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I buy a very long rope toy with a big knot in the middle, and that knot represents the foul zone. Just like in any other sport, there's fouls and errors and things like that, and you have to either go off the field for a couple of seconds, or you have to replay the game, the action that you were just doing. You know, you have to restart it,
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. So when I'm playing this game, I would, you know, first tease the dog with a little bit to get him excited, or I'll make believe that it's really important to me, and I'll take it and show it to him and hide it behind my back and stuff, so that it gets the dog excited. Then I allow the dog to take hold of the toy. And I gently tug towards me. I gently tug back and forth, but I don't shake the dog's head. It's very important. The human rules of this game, never shake the dog's head. They can shake their head as much as they want, but if you shake their head, there's a possibility that you could cause neurological damage.
Excellent.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the rules. I don't allow the dog's teeth or mouth to touch the knot or go over the knot. If they touch the knot or they'll go over the knot, if I have access to the toy at that point, I'll say, uh-oh, and I'll put the toy on a high place and out of sight for a couple of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take the toy back and I hold it in front of me. And I don't tell the dog to sit. I don't give him instruction. I wait until he offers a behavior that I like a sit or a down. And when he does, he is rewarded big time. And he's allowed to play with the tug toy again. Okay? Sometimes I'll drop the toy and make it seem like I did it by mistake and say, give me that toy! Give me that! What do you have? And the dog is so excited that it won the game that, you know, it runs away and you can chase it. And that fulfills the dog's being chased. They like to get chased, which is one of the primary reasons why dogs don't come. You know, when they come and then the owner goes towards it, it runs away.
Right.
You know, and a lot of dogs like that chase game. So the tug game gives a dog an opportunity to get rid of a lot of pent-up frustration.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent form of exercise,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
It teaches them self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you just in a couple of seconds how I get self-control.
Wait, Karen, hold on, darling. We can resume this conversation in a minute, but we have a caller.
Yep.
We have Marion on the phone, and Marion has a 2-year-old rescue dog, and she has a question for us. Can you hear us,
sure.
Karen, too?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Marion.
I have 2 Golden Retriever Collie mixes. The 9-year-old was an SPCA rescue. The younger one that just turned 2 was from a Golden Retriever rescue. And she has the little curse of the devil dog in her. She's part chow, just
uh-oh.
Enough to make my life
a little more interesting,
shall we say.
Right.
The amount of times that I've walked the older girl on a leash, I can count on one hand over 9 years. She's a very good girl.
Mm-hmm.
My husband will not walk the younger dog because of her constantly pulling.
Mm-hmm.
He lets her be in the yard. I feel it's a cheat. I try to get her out to walk her. Now, when I walk her, and if I feel that she's pulling, I give her, you know, verbal, don't pull mommy. And if she does it again, we stop. I, you know, make her sit and wait in place. And then after, you know, if she tries to get up, no, you have to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll go for a little bit more, but eventually she goes back into pulling.
Right.
My husband's like, we should just get one of those prong collar. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Good girl.
So I'm looking for something I'm doing wrong.
Okay, I don't think you're doing anything really wrong, and Karen's going to give you feedback, too. I'd like to make your life a lot easier right from the get-go.
Okay.
You know, the younger one is how old, 7?
Just turned 2.
Oh, just turned 2.
Had her at 5 months from a golden retriever rescue.
Okay.
Old girl is 9.
Okay, but the younger one is the one who's giving you a little trouble. So if you go to PetSmart,
yeah,
and you take your dog with you,
mm-hmm,
tell them you need a no-pull harness. And my favorite, I don't know if it's Karen's, but my favorite no-pull harness is called an easy walk harness.
Now, is that the one that goes over the torso?
It goes around the body, but it connects to the chest. The leash connects to the chest, not the back of the dog.
When I had first gotten, I don't think it was a gentle leader, but it was like it was only through the front of the legs, yeah, across the chest.
Right.
And maybe it was because she was maybe 6-7 months at the time, and she's like, oh, no.
Uh-huh. So that didn't work for you?
No.
Okay. So there are other types of harnesses. I know that there's one called a freedom harness, which connects to both. It's a 2-point harness. It connects both to the chest and the back. I've had really good success with that.
Right.
And if all else fails, as far as harnesses are concerned,
yeah,
you might want to desensitize her first to wearing a gentle leader head halter.
Mm-hmm. Can I answer Jess?
Oh, pardon, Karen?
Can I interject?
Absolutely.
Please. With the easy walk harness, if your dog has an aversion to it,
right,
what I suggest that you do, if she's a tennis freak, a tennis ball freak, or she loves to eat, I would suggest putting that harness on her right before you feed her.
Okay.
Or right before you play a game of tennis.
So she has
tennis
something
ball. Not that you have to take her out on it.
Yeah.
But start to make it associated with fun.
Good. Yeah.
So when she sees that harness come out, it's, oh boy, I'm going to have something yummy, or I'm going to play a fun game.
Yeah.
So just like anything else, like when you take the tennis ball out and you show it to the dog, it gets all excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
she gets all excited.
Ball with that tennis ball would have a negative association.
She'll chew that tennis
ball
up.
But if you play a game with it, it takes on a positive.
Yeah, she won't play with it. She'll chew it. She'll get excited. She'll go trying to chew that tennis ball.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand where you're coming from. And that's a very good point, because I wouldn't have necessarily thought to associate something good with that.
The other thing, Marion, that I might suggest is to teach her to target the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So if you walk her on the right side of you,
right,
you can start to let her touch. You tell her to touch the palm of your hand, and when she does put her nose on your hand, you give her a treat.
Okay.
And so that you can teach her as she's walking to remain behind the palm of your hand, and every time you open your hand, you tell her touch, and she gets a treat.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, so it's called target training. It sounds like we're shooting guns off, but we're not. It's not target practice, it's targeting. And I've done that a lot with dogs who pull, and also a lot of attention work. And so one of the other things that I might suggest, and Karen may want to jump in here too, is that taking this particular dog to a group obedience class may help you a lot.
Okay.
Because in any good class, they're going to work on leash walking ad nauseum.
Right.
I have another suggestion.
Absolutely.
Or actually a point to me.
Please.
What your dog probably most likely has learned at this point, that the sensation of pulling means that she gets to move forward.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And loose leash is the dog stops. Because
right,
if you're standing with her right now,
mm-hmm,
she's not going anywhere, right?
Well, what sometimes
so
I do.
So what we want to do.
Karen, she's asking you a question.
That you can use.
Okay.
But it takes patience,
right?
Okay, which you may not have much of.
With this girl,
but what you can do is you could start out in your yard or somewhere safe,
yeah,
Yeah. And you put her on the leash, and you take one step forward, mm-hmm. or two steps forward. When she begins to pull, just stop all forward movement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Wait for the dog to turn and look at you,
mm-hmm.
or to turn and walk towards you. When she does, you continue the walk, so that you always have a loose leash. So
right.
what happens is, it's almost like taking how we stop at red lights and we go at green.
Right.
We're going to be stopping at green and going at red.
Okay.
So we're going to reverse it. So anytime she pulls, we stop.
Okay.
When the leash becomes loose, we move forward. So what we're doing is reversing that sensation to have a different meaning. So
mm-hmm.
now pulling means we don't go anywhere.
Right. Right.
Okay. And loose leash sensation, we move.
Yeah.
And that's helpful too. And you don't have to give lots of commands and talk and do all this and say
the
no
leash
and
does
stop
the talking,
and easy
yeah.
and sit
yeah.
and all this kind of stuff. But the dog learns mm-hmm. this through consequence.
Yeah.
That pulling sensation means I don't get rewarded.
Yeah.
But loose leash, I do. So you can try that, too.
Oh, guys, I'm so glad I called in. You guys gave me a couple different branches off here. And
that's great, Marion. We're very happy that you did call.
Thanks for helping me out. And both my girls send you Golden Retriever hair by the gallon.
And, Marion, yes. I want you to know that if you need further advice,
yeah.
You can call me. I mean, you can email me directly, and I wouldn't mind at all
okay.
giving you advice over the email.
Same here.
With you on the phone further about this.
Great.
If you visit my website at mybestfrienddogschool.com,
okay.
there is an area where you could contact us and just let me know that we spoke on the radio, and I'll get back to you and help you through this issue because
okay.
you're out of my area.
Yeah.
Marion, you
so
can
I can help you, give you some more, or at least put it in print. So you can have these suggestions in printed form so you don't forget.
Yes.
We have a tendency to forget.
Well, actually, what would be very nice if I actually implement this and I can, on your website, send you a picture of Kasia sitting and walking like a good girl.
Well, that would be
I would love
Marion.
That, sweet.
That
we
would
both
be wonderful.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yep. Marion, you can always go to my website also. It's jerseydogtrainer.com.
Okay.
And I would be very happy also to offer some handouts on the target training and anything else that you might need.
Ladies, thank you. You made my day.
Great. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So we're going to repeat that. We have several minutes left. And if you want to give us a call, if you have a problem with your own dog, our number is 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. So, Karen, you were in the middle of talking about the game of tug of war. Are
Correct.
You there? And so you were talking about other aspects of setting rules and stuff like that. Do you want to continue with that?
Yes. So we left off where, you know, the dog has rules with this game. We don't go over the knot. The dog doesn't go over the knot. If it does, we get a brief timeout.
Right.
When I teach impulse control, and I find that this game is really helpful for those dogs that can't concentrate on anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the retrievers, the collies, the dogs that are hyped up and they don't know how to sit and they can't pay attention to anything for very long. I do very little talking with the dogs. So these dogs I use almost like a silent training method where
mm-hmm.
I force the dog to use their brain to figure out problems.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs love figuring out problems. That's how they learn to get into cabinets and steal things and do all the behaviors that we don't like.
Right.
So what I'm doing is actually rewarding the dog. I'm allowing the dog to think and figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do, and this is not for everybody, but if you have a friend that's strong and could withstand this kind of stuff, you can hold the rope toy over your head. If you have a jumper, he's going to be jumping up and down and jumping up and down, and just let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
And wait. When the dog sits on its own, you reward him, you're a good boy, and we play another great game. Okay? Another thing that I do, especially, I do this with pit bulls, especially with pit bulls, with Rottweilers, not so much with German Shepherds because they're bite and release dogs. They're
okay.
not ones to clamp on and hold down.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mastiffs and the breeds that you find in the pit bull breed that have a tendency to clench.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in the middle of a really rousing game, I mean really intense, I'll tell the dog to off.
Right.
He doesn't know what I mean.
Oh.
But I say off, off, and I keep repeating that. And if I feel that every time I feel the dog jaw release just for a second, I tell him, good boy.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So I'm giving him feedback. I'm giving him constant feedback. I'm giving him a cue that he doesn't know what that is yet.
But every time he opens his jaw, even to grab on her, I say, good job. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of good timing. You have to have good timing. And every time he opens his mouth, good boy, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I coach the dog through the process. And when he does release it, I say, good, off, yay. And I give him the rope toy again. And I go through this process over and over. And usually the dog gets it after the third or fourth repetition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a reliable off.
Right.
And that's really good because you're dealing with a very overstimulated state of mind. The dog's concentrated on clenching and biting and tearing. And at that point, you can intervene off. And the dog sees it as a reward because it knows that something great is going to follow up with it.
To play the game again, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. You know, you mentioned something very important when you first started to talk about this, and I want to tell you that I am a guilty, guilty person. Before I knew anything about anything with dogs, I think I mentioned my Border Collie Jack to you guys before, and he was an aggressive dog, so common sense would probably tell you never to play tug of war with this dog because he's a biter. Well, guess what? Playing tug of war with strict rules taught my dog not to bite because he loved the game so much and he knew that he had to follow these strict rules. If he bit me, you know, a lot of people will tell me, yeah, my dog, I play tug of war with my dog and once in a while he'll bite, but it's always by accident. Well, we can't look at that as an accident. We have to always stop the game when that bite happens to teach the dog, you need to control your impulses here and learn not to bite if you want to keep playing. So that's how he learned that. However, I was very guilty not knowing. I would turn his head and flip him from one side to another. He loved it, but the fact that I didn't break that dog's neck was really lucky. And I learned from an animal chiropractor that you can cause terrible subluxations in the spine.
Well, certain breeds, like the Doberman Pinscher, the Great Dane, the larger breed dogs, they have a tendency to develop a wobbler syndrome.
Right.
And other disorders with the spine. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a large dog. I mean, this disorder, spinal stenosis and spinal problems occur in the Basset Hound, in the Dachshund.
Right.
So, I mean, really, whenever you're shaking the neck or the head, you could be doing damage.
Yeah.
Now, the same could be said for giving harsh leash corrections on a dog, too.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you know, I've been working for 2 years with a Doberman Pinscher that had territorial aggressive behavior. And before I came along, she was trained very harshly with a lot of harsh leash corrections, shock collars, and these kinds of things.
Mm.
When I went to evaluate her, through asking medical questions, I found out that this dog has head tremors after brief naps.
Wow.
Not after prolonged areas of time to sleep, but after brief naps. Now, to me, that's a red flag that the dog has a neurological issue.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote 2 lengthy behavioral reports to the vet and suggested that they have a neurological follow-up. But by the time the dog could really get treated, she had wobbler syndrome so bad that they had to put her down. I mean, it was very quick.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm not saying that the former trainer caused any damage, but it doesn't help.
Okay.
So you have to be careful, you know, when you're playing these kinds of games. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can twist the dog's head back and forth, and you can pull, and you can lift up, and you can pull down, and you can have a lot of fun. And the dog will shake his head like crazy.
Sure.
But they know how much they can do.
And they feel it. We don't. So they know how much pressure that they can put on there.
Exactly.
Karen, we want to play your commercial, honey. I want people to know how good you are and what services you offer. So
Before we do, Renee, can I give a shout-out to New York University Medical Center?
Sure you can.
My father was rushed to the hospital today. He's a patient of Dr. Nitti and Dr. Wong at the New York University Medical Center in New York City. And I want to thank Dr. Nitti, Dr. Wong, all the nursing staff and physician's assistants that have taken care of my dad today.
Oh, that's so nice. And I hope your dad is feeling better. I know you couldn't join us last week because he was taken in on an emergency, and there you are again.
Well, luckily I found a really quiet corridor where I can broadcast the show.
Okay. All right, Karen. We're going to take a little bit of a break. Before we play your commercial, I want everybody to know we still have a little bit of time left if you want to give us a call at 856-227-1360. We'll be right back.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Okay, we're back. And Karen, I want to tell you that you mentioned also prong collars and leash corrections and stuff like that. For the little while that we have left, can we just discuss the emotional ramifications of doing harsh corrections, not just the physical? We've talked about that. That has enough problems and very bad problems that can happen with harsh leash corrections. But there are emotional issues that develop when we correct a dog with harsh methods. So maybe we can offer some information to our listeners. If your dogs pull, there are other harnesses out there that you can use that do not cause damage to the neck and would not cause emotional problems to the dog. These harnesses kind of counteract the dog's oppositional reflex, where if there's pressure on the dog's neck, he's automatically going to want to pull forward. If you release that pressure, he's going to more than likely walk on a looser leash, correct?
Correct.
Right. So have you seen in your business where you've met a dog that has been trained with harsh leash corrections, what sort of behaviors do you find out there that you could attribute that to?
Usually, if the dog has had a really good trainer that is aware of the brain, the neurological system, and has done extensive scientific research on behavior and corrections and aversive sensations, then you really don't see too much problem behavior. Mm-hmm. However, there's maybe 1 to 2 really qualified trainers in the country that know that. And I can tell you, I was one of those trainers, okay?
Mm-hmm. We all were at one time.
I don't train that way anymore.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
But the big problem is that when those dogs are handed over to the owners when the trainer leaves, they are not aware of the scientific information. Very rarely these trainers share that information.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you that in scientific studies involving lab mice and other animals, a correction or an aversive treatment like a foot shock or a saline injection or forced restraint without a warning, some sort of warning, either a verbal warning like a sound or a flash of light. If these animals are not provided with a warning before the punishment comes, they have great difficulty coping with subsequent tests.
Don't you think that that's because the dog has no control on what's happening to him? If he gets that warning, at least he can make a decision, there's that warning, I better not do what I'm doing.
Correct. And the biggest mistake most of these trainers make, and you see it all the time, is that they're giving the cue as they're giving the correction. So when they snap and simultaneously they say no.
Right.
Where they should be saying no.
And then snap.
Give the dog a chance to correct itself and then follow through with the correction.
Okay.
I am not advocating correction-based training in any way.
Me neither.
But I do want people to know if by some chance you are using this technique, which I don't recommend to anybody, I want you to at least do it right.
Okay. All right,
because you can cause a lot of behavior,
right.
A behavior problem. Now, in lab animals.
Karen, we have about 30 seconds, darling.
Oh, God. Well, in animals that weren't provided with the flash of light or the verbal, they had a problem with subsequent tests. Those that were provided with the flash of light, they did better.
Thank you so much, Karen. We got to go. We're out of time. There's Duke telling us we better get off. He's such a nag.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Karen, and thank you to our listeners, and certainly thank you, Marion, for giving us a call. We hope that our methods are going to help you out. I hope that you'll all tune in next week to Thursday in the Doghouse from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Have a great week.
Well, I'm glad you're home. Where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it.